Blog Talk Radio.
I release all disappointment from my mental, physical, spiritual, and emotional body. 'Cause I know that spirit guides me, and love lives inside me. That's why today I take life as it comes.
Greetings, everyone. Welcome again to Higher Consciousness. I am Professor Jamila Franklin, and I am your host. And I'm so very, very, very honored to have you join us if this is your first time. And if it's your 78th time, thank you for joining us again. I am, as I said before, so very honored to have you join us on Higher Consciousness. And this is a metaphysical talk show. We discuss topics about metaphysics, about health, about wellness, about the law of attraction, and current affairs. This is not a show for political debate. Instead, this is a show to raise your consciousness and to raise your awareness level about the different topics that we cover. We have been on the air since October 22nd, 2012, and we have had over 45,000 downloads during this time, and I'm so very grateful and thankful to each and every one of you who has listened continuously, and I just so, so appreciate each and every one of you for being a supporter of Higher Consciousness. And most of our listeners listen to our shows when they are archived. So if you're not able to listen to our show from 7 to 9 Eastern Standard Time, feel free to go to our website, Higher Consciousness, Professor Jamila Franklin, and you can listen to any of our shows 24 hours a day, seven days a week. And feel free to also contact me if you would like to learn more about my particular practice in holistic health. My number to contact me is 770-808-8051. And if you would like to be a guest on Higher Consciousness and would like to find out how you can be a guest, contact me at 770-808-8051. This evening we have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful guest whose name is Kay Kirkman, and she is going to join us in a few minutes. I want to give you some information about Ms. Kirkman. And this information is so very, very timely because we're now heading into holidays. We're heading into Memorial Day, and then after that, a lot of people have graduation parties, and then the 4th of July, and then Labor Day. So with Memorial Day, that kicks off the season for a lot of eating holidays. And so our guest this evening will teach you how to eat more responsibly if you're not already doing so. And I know a lot of my listeners probably are. But even if you are eating responsibly, she can show you how to enhance your knowledge. And so you can even do a little bit better and help your loved ones who may not be eating as responsibly as you. So tonight's topic is, want to release weight permanently without dieting? And our guest this evening, as I mentioned, is Ms. Kay Kirkman, who is a dynamic speaker, wellness advocate, and life and weight loss coach. Her philosophy is very, very holistic because it's not about losing weight. As we know, a lot of times people lose the weight and then it comes right back on. And there's a reason for dieting and emotional eating. And so she's going to cover those topics because The goal is to help get in touch with the triggers that are causing you to eat and not be on top of your eating pattern. So we want you to join us this evening to learn the reasons for emotional eating, the dieting failures, and the subliminal media messages regarding eating. I'll give you some information about Ms. Kirkman. Kay Kirkman is a dynamic speaker, wellness advocate, life and weight loss coach, on a mission to change the conversation about food, weight, and body image. Kay helps high-achieving professional women who struggle with their weight to get off the diet roller coaster and finally get healthy so that they can be fully present for the people that they love. And this is really important. Kay's wellness philosophy can be summed up in three words: eat, pray, lose. This speaks to the physical, spiritual, and emotional components to any healthy weight maintenance program. Kay teaches her audiences and her coaching clients to look at health and wellness from a holistic approach, not simply another pill or shake that will magically solve their weight issues. A born communicator, Kay helps her coaching clients and speaking audiences to shift their thinking around their health and lose the judgment and guilt surrounding carrying extra weight. Often, when judgment and guilt are gone, the weight soon follows. Kay holds a bachelor's degree in broadcast journalism from Syracuse University. She is a certified life coach, a certified weight loss coach, and she is currently pursuing her nutrition coaching certification from the Institute of Transformational Nutrition, founded by Cynthia Pasqualia. A native New Yorker, Kay currently resides just outside of Atlanta, Georgia. And she can give you some more information, contact information, but I know you're going to be very, very inspired and very motivated after listening to this dynamic young woman. And I am apologizing beforehand. We've been having some slight technical difficulties with the show, with my being dropped from the show. So this evening we will make sure that you have continuous dialogue, and Kay will continue to talk, and then I'll just call back in if I'm dropped from the show. Okay, so I'm apologizing beforehand in case that happens this evening. Hopefully it will not, but the show must go on. Okay, so and feel free to call in if you have any questions for Kay. The number is 1-818-572-8023 and press 1. Again, the call-in number to talk to Kay is 1-818-572-8023 and press 1. And I know that you're going to be inspired by this young woman, as I had been when I met her recently, and I asked her if she wanted to be a guest of my show, and it worked out where she is able to be a guest this evening. Greeting, Kay. How are you?
I am great, Jamila. How are you? Thank you so much for having me.
I am so very, very pleased and honored to have you as a guest, especially as we had talked before, since this is around, well, Memorial Day is coming up and a lot of the other holidays are going to soon follow. So we
yes.
need to make sure that we get a handle on this eating situation, because I know a lot of times people tend to overeat during the holidays and then regret it. And then they go on this day and they overeat that they want to lose the weight, then they overeat, and a lot of people feel that it's okay to overeat because they're going to go on a diet immediately afterwards. So
exactly.
I want to talk about the reasons for this yo-yo binge, because that's binge eating, and how we can really curb this. And I know the media plays a very significant and interesting role in this dieting, in this yo-yo dieting. So let's talk about you and introduce you to the audience. I gave them some information about your wonderful background, but what inspired you to come into this area to really coach women, in particular professional women, to get their lives back in order, in divine order?
Yes, well, it's such a great question, and I think that, you know, we all have our own wellness journey, so to speak, I like to say. And, you know, mine started really when I was a child. My father actually was diabetic, and he was actually insulin-dependent diabetic. And so I remember as a child watching him, you know, having to inject the insulin and just knowing from a young age that he had to eat differently because of the fact that he was diabetic. So growing up in my home, we never had sugar cereals. My dad was a chef, so he did all the cooking. And we only ate whole foods. We didn't really eat processed foods. It was only when I went to my cousin's house or friends' houses that I would see all of the, you know, what I like to call the standard American diet. So, of course, then I went to college and, you know, all bets were off. Like every other college student, you know, I fell into the poor eating habits that were so unlike what I had grown up with. And then something happened to me right after college. I was actually diagnosed with an autoimmune disease called lupus. When I found out I had lupus, it kind of changed the way I thought about food. And, you know, I started really understanding that food was more than just, you know, pizza and wings and all that crazy food that I was eating as a college student. But I really had to find out a way that I could use food to heal my body and also to fuel my body in the right way. So that really set me on a path, you know, to just researching and trying to find out more about eating healthy. And, you know, I've had my ups and downs. You know, I've you know, gone through phases where I haven't been so diligent about my eating. And, of course, my body has actually suffered from that. But now I feel like I've come to a place of balance. And I do realize that when I am thinking about my body and what it does for me and how powerful it is, it makes it more compelling for me to feed it properly and use my food as fuel and not to cover feelings, hide emotions, and things of that nature, but to really fuel my body and my mind and my soul. So that's a little bit about me and kind of where what brought me to this point.
Wow, that is so
awesome. Oh, go ahead.
That's really, really interesting. It's so awesome. So because of your, and so you created the autoimmune disease by the change in your dietary patterns?
You said I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said. You said
I was asking, so do you think that lupus was created in your body because your dietary pattern had changed from what you were used to?
You know what? I don't know. And I know that, you know, I firmly believe that disease or dis-ease always comes from an internal source. So I don't know if that played a role, but I'm sure that there were a lot of different things that came into play. I actually, the way I found out that I had developed lupus was actually I had pneumonia. And, I had the bout of pneumonia, and the symptoms just kind of never went away after the pneumonia. And after seeing several doctors, I've come to know that that is common to have lupus develop after pneumonia. But I do believe that when you're not eating properly, it does lower your immune response. So your ability to fight off, you know, normal illnesses and things is actually lessened when you're not really eating a proper diet of, you know, fruits and vegetables and whole foods and whole grains. And not only the diet, but just really taking care of yourself spiritually, emotionally. So I think that all of that probably did come into play. But, you know, I couldn't really say for sure, but I know that I definitely can feel a difference in terms of the symptoms of lupus when I'm eating properly. So I will say that.
So have you been able to curb the symptoms through your diet?
Yes. I mean, I have been in remission, it's been years now, where I haven't really experienced the symptoms. And I do attribute a lot of that to, you know, maintaining a balanced diet and just really focusing on, like I said, the mental and the spiritual too, because I do feel like it's all a holistic approach. You know, when I first was diagnosed with lupus, I actually probably gained about 40 pounds from the medicine that I was on. The steroids, anybody who's familiar with it, steroids are commonly prescribed. And so I really had to kind of do a detox from that. And I really just did that by basically just eating a plant-based diet, you know, more whole foods and fruits and vegetables and things of that nature. And I was able to lose, you know, that 40 pounds, and I have not gained that back. So I do attribute that, you know, the alleviating the symptoms to the to eating in that way. And like I said, also the other things, the spiritual and the mental, I think that's really important too. I always have to bring that up because I do think it's a holistic thing. The food is important, but it's only one part of the puzzle.
I definitely agree with you. I commend you for taking charge of your life and not allowing the diagnosis to scare you off, because what happens, and I am prefacing my statement, I don't want anyone to think that I'm telling them not to go to a doctor or not to follow the doctor's orders, because I'm not a physician, so I'm not a person who can tell you what to do. But I think that sometimes we really just, but I came from a medical background in terms of being a senior administrator at Harvard Medical School. So I know that a lot of times people tend to turn their lives over to physicians because they feel that they know more, the physicians know more than they, which is not true. You know your body better than a physician, and a physician and you should be on the same team working collaboratively. So while you're taking charge of your life and dealing with the plant-based diet, which helps you lose the weight that you gained because of the medications, and so now you've been in remission, I commend you, because sometimes what I've seen happen is people just, when they hear these different diagnoses, they become very afraid, and they don't question the information, and they just tend to go the pharmaceutical route 100%. But you can do both, and then after a while, the physicians in some cases may pull you off the meds. So I commend you, because that's very courageous. A lot of people operate in fear when they hear certain kinds of diagnoses. So
definitely.
I will say, especially if
you have listeners, you know, that have been diagnosed with lupus or other chronic illnesses, what you're saying is so very important, because I will say, especially if anybody's familiar with lupus, I mean, it's so hard to diagnose. So, you know, you're basically shuttled around from doctor to doctor. You're doing all these tests. And, you know, I mean, I've had doctors look me straight in the face and say, you are a very, very sick girl. You know, you are going to be on medication for the rest of your life. And, you know, it can be, it can throw you into fear, because we, you know, we've been grown up and taught to believe that, hey, the doctor has all the answers. But something that you said was so key is you have to listen to your body. You know, even with me eating a mostly plant-based diet now, I don't necessarily tell everyone that you have to eat a plant-based diet in order to be healthy. And I know some people that are vegetarians that are not healthy. You know, they're not healthy. So, again, you have to listen to your body. I am a firm believer that there is not one diet that fits everyone. I certainly believe that a plant-based diet is the most beneficial for me and for most people, because if you look at a lot of the allergens, dairy, soy, things of that nature, especially for African Americans, we have a lot of food intolerances, you know, with the dairy. But I think you do have to listen to your body. You have to use your own inner wisdom. Just like what you said, you can't just go to a doctor and take what they say at face value. You have to do your own research. You know, look into other, you know, holistic practitioners, and work in conjunction with your traditional doctor. I'm not, like you said, I'm not saying that traditional medicine is not worth looking into and it doesn't have its benefits, but you have to know your own body. You have to listen to your own body. You have to listen to your own inner wisdom. You know, just get still. You know, I think sometimes we're just in autopilot mode. You know, I work with a lot of professional women, and this is what I see, is we're running from one thing to the other thing. We're running from, you know, one event, one function, one task to the other, and we don't even take a second to breathe and just to be still and, you know, to listen to the wisdom, our own inner wisdom. We don't trust our own inner wisdom. We, you know, we look at, you know, you mentioned the media a little bit earlier. You know, we look at all the media messages to give us, to tell us, to inform us about our body image and what's beautiful and what's healthy, you know, and we don't do our own due diligence and we don't listen to our own inner wisdom. And I think that that's so key, especially, you know, if you've been diagnosed with any chronic illness, but just in general, I think that it's a good practice for everyone. So.
That is very, very, very true. And I think that's very good information. If you are in the listening audience and you want to talk with Kay, please feel free to call 1-818-572-8023 and press 1. Again, please feel free to call at any point during our two-hour show, 1-818-572-8023 and press 1. Well, let me just go back. You mentioned something that's very, very interesting, because a lot of times people think that poor diet habits are income-based. They think that people, excuse me, women who have more money eat better. And I saw some CDC statistics a couple of years ago in terms of African-American women. And it was just very startling, because their dietary habits were very similar to African-American women who were poor. So their having more money did not change their dietary patterns, and they were experiencing some of the same illnesses and diseases as those of poor women. And I said, wow.
That's interesting. I can believe it.
Many people have, they make better choices, but that's not necessarily true. Have you found that to be the case?
You know, I think that the economics, you know, like you said, women that have access to money, a lot of times that just means they have access to more excess, you know. A lot of times that's what happens, because the other thing about it is, you know, if we look at the reasons why people overeat, you know, why people make unhealthy choices in terms of their diet, those reasons are oftentimes not socioeconomic reasons. Because if you look at the stress, yes, the stress level or the stressors, so to speak, for someone in a higher income bracket may be different from those in a lower income range, but they're still stresses. You know what I mean? So even though they may be different, everyone has stress of some kind. And I would say a lot of times stress is one of the number one contributors to weight gain. So if we look at the amount of stress in everyone's lives, we see that the economic factor, it's a non-factor a lot of times. So I would absolutely I would not be surprised at all that that's true. The other thing, just on that vein, I mean, and I think you and I talked about this when we spoke last week, a lot of times people who don't have access to a lot of money think that it's going to be so expensive to eat healthy. But
very true.
When you go, you know, but when you go into the grocery store, if you're eating fruits and vegetables, whole grains, even if you are a meat eater and you buy a chicken breast, you know, or something like that, or even a whole chicken, that is a lot less expensive than getting a lot of these processed foods, these convenience foods, these frozen foods that you find in the freezer aisle. So I think it's really just all about priorities and choices that we make. And, you know, a lot of times people can make excuses about the economics of it, whether, oh, someone in a higher income bracket, or someone in the lower income bracket. But at the end of the day, we're all people. We're all humans, and we have stress. You know, it might be different. And then we all make choices, you know. We make choices about where we want to spend our money, you know. And a lot of times, you know, I always like to tell people, don't wait until you have some sort of a health issue before you really take a look at your eating, your habits. Don't wait. Don't use your economics as an excuse, you know. Start knowing that you're worthy and you're worth, really paying attention to your health, and don't let economics or any other excuse stop you from living your best life and, you know, living as well as you can.
I think, Kay, you are raising some very important points. What I have found in talking to people as a holistic health practitioner, as I do, I talk to people informally. I'm not a nutritionist or I'm not a weight loss coach like you, but I talk about holistic issues because I'm a holistic life coach as well as some other things. A lot of times people have really inaccurate information. They've been told by media that to eat healthy means, like you said, you can get a whole chicken for what you spend on a couple of meals at a fast food restaurant. But you're not told that. The media tells people basically, if you want to eat healthy, it's going to cost more money. And so therefore, eating fast foods is a better option. And they believe that. When I've sat down and told people to do the math, they are amazed. I've said, if you go to a fast food chain and buy one of their fast food meals, they average about $2 to $3. And if you, and then usually they're empty calories, which means that by the time they've eaten it, they're hungry again.
Right.
So they're going to spend at least $2 to $3 per day, a minimum, and if they're on the go. So let's just say if they do that 5 days a week, $3, that's $15, 15 times 4 is $60. And then in 10 months, that's $600. In a year, that's close to $700 and something. And that's just for one person. So if you're doing that and you have children and you multiply that, I've told people, that's the money for a down payment on a house. And you become chronically ill. You know, and so there are no benefits to that. Whereas if you go to the supermarket and buy foods, like you said, you know, a whole chicken or a chicken breast, or I'm a vegetarian, so but for those people who eat meat, you go to the farmer's market, which is even better. In most cities have farmer's markets, and you can get all produce and all meats and the like for a fraction of the cost that you will pay even in the supermarket, and you're selecting your meats and you're selecting your vegetables. Whereas when you go to the supermarket, they've already pre-selected it, and you're getting the best out of the work. And it's just far cheaper and it's healthier for you. So it's a matter of having people become re-educated.
Yes, you're right. And the media, I mean, we could do a whole show on the media and then the companies, the dairy industry, and, you know, the corn lobby, and all the different parts that go into, you know, what you see on TV and what's advertised, and even the food pyramid, we can really spend a lot of time on that, but you're absolutely right. The media does present these images, and like you said, about making you think that it's more expensive, you know, to eat healthy and things of that nature. And I think an important thing to note is, you know, people, you just, I think that one thing that happens is people get overwhelmed. You know, people get overwhelmed when they hear about eating healthy. First of all, people don't like change for the most part. You know, a lot of times people, they're afraid. Oh, go ahead. What were you saying?
No, I was agreeing. I said that is very true. People don't like change,
yeah,
and they become afraid, and then they get overwhelmed.
And when we get into fear, you know, we're really not acting. When you're acting from fear, it's not a place of power, if that makes sense. You know, so you're in fear. You know, you're afraid of change. You're afraid of what it could be. Things of this nature. Then, you know, I talk about the judgment. Then we go into judgment. Oh, you know, people feel that they're being judged because they're not eating, you know, a certain way, or, you know. And then it goes into, well, I'm feeling judged as a parent. You know, I'm feeling judged as a mom. You know. So what I like to tell folks is, think about small changes that you can make today. You know what I mean? Think about, you know, adding a fruit or a vegetable to every single meal that you eat tomorrow. Not changing anything else, but just eating a fruit or a vegetable at every meal, making sure that you're at least doing that. You know, make small, subtle changes, and then kind of see how you feel with that, you know? Maybe not eliminating meat from one meal. Or, you know, having red meat twice a week instead of seven times a week. You know, just think of what small changes that you could do that you would feel comfortable with, and see how that feels for you. See how your body reacts to that. So I think when we talk about making small changes, a lot of times that's less intimidating than if you start, you know, telling people about, you know, the way they're eating now is so bad, and, you know, you have to do all these things. And people get overwhelmed, and then it's just like, you know, I'm not going to do anything. And that's one thing that we don't want people to get into, this place of being stuck. And this is where so many of us are, right? I mean, just stuck, you know, not knowing, like you said, not having the education. That is so key. The education, and then, you know, the knowledge to know what to do, and then the fear of that change, and a fear that it's going to be overwhelming or it's going to be hard. So I think, you know, what you said is so key. Definitely, I agree with it.
Well, what I would like to do after this commercial break is start talking about some other topics about how women in particular can get in touch with some of the underlying issues. How women, like I said, in particular, but men as well, get in touch with some of the underlying issues that cause them to not be in touch with their bodies and not to listen to their bodies, because our bodies always give us a clue and a cue. So after this commercial break, we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
This is Professor Jamila Franklin, CEO and President of Oyinde Enterprises, a holistic wellness company. We provide dynamic certified Reiki and energy medicine classes and trainings, certified aromatherapy courses, metaphysics courses, life coaching sessions, and private holistic counseling sessions. For more information, call 770-808-8051 or go to our website at www.oyindeenterprises.com. That is spelled OYINDEENTERPRISES.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
Welcome back. This is Higher Consciousness, and I am Professor Jamila Franklin. And this evening, we have a wonderful guest, Kay Kirkman, who is a wellness coach, life and weight loss coach. And she knows a lot about how to get you on track for the upcoming holidays. Memorial Day, as I said before, is the beginning of the holiday season. That's after Memorial Day, then there's the 4th of July. But even before then, a lot of people are going to graduation parties, weddings are taking place, and so there's a lot going on during the summer months. And this is a time when, as well as in the winter months, but this is a time when people tend to go out and really do a lot of eating at fast food places. So feel free to call us at 1-818-572-8023 and press 1 to talk to Kay if you have any questions about proper nutrition, dieting, eating patterns, any of that. 1-818-572-8023 and press 1. So, Kay, what are some of the major concerns that you have or that you see as a professional in the field in terms of eating patterns for women in particular and for the general population?
That's a great question. A lot of what I see is that people use food for other reasons other than to fuel their body. And, you know, you mentioned some of the holidays coming up. You know, a lot of times I think that our culture, and a lot of cultures, you know, food is sort of a part of the culture. It's a part of celebration. You know, people think of family. They think of celebrating. So one of the things I find is that a lot of people feel a certain amount of peer pressure, you know, in terms of the way they eat. So, you know, we talk about professional women and men. Maybe if they have certain work obligations or family obligations, you know, if a family member prepares a certain dish, they feel a certain amount of guilt if they don't partake in that dish. You know, they don't want to look like they're different from everybody else by, you know, eating something different and things of that nature. So that's one thing that I see a lot. Another thing that I see, and this is, a lot of times women, but men too, as you said, is the, you had mentioned it, the emotional eating. So a lot of times people will eat if they're feeling stressed, if they're feeling angry. You know, they'll use food as kind of a way to kind of alleviate whatever that uncomfortable feeling is. And a lot of times they'll reach for, you know, the processed foods, the sugary foods, and things of that nature. And I think, and a lot of it, we talked about this a little bit before, but I think a lot of people buy into a lot of the messages that they see in the media. You know, one thing, you know, when a lot of times when I talk to clients, I mean, they've been on every kind of diet, you know, paleo, cleanse it, you know, all, it's like they're shooting for all these different things. And I think that they're confused about proper nutrition and what it actually takes to lose weight and, you know, how they can fit weight loss or healthy eating or a healthy life plan into their daily lives and their activities and things like that. So I think those are the things that I see a lot of, the emotional eating, eating as a part of culture, and then also the media, you know, the media images, and just not being educated on what proper eating really is.
What you're saying is so, so true. And you know, the irony of living here in Georgia with the CDC, the Center for Diseases and Control, Georgia is one of, if not the one state, one of the states where you have a high rate of all of the chronic diseases, and obesity is one of them. It's very interesting. You have medical schools here. You have Emory. You have the CDC here. You have Morehouse School of Medicine.
Mm-hmm. And we have a lot great of the weather year-round. So, you know, exercising and getting out and being active shouldn't be a problem because, you know, the weather is mild usually. I mean, this particular year wasn't very representative of that, but, you know, usually the weather is pretty mild, so it's not like, you know, a place where you can't get outside and walk and, you know, be active and things like that. See, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, it tends to be really ironic here because, like you said, the weather is good. We don't have a lot of inclement weather. Well, we've had a lot of rain recently, which is a blessing because we need the rain for the ground, but it's not generally cold here. And when I moved here from Boston about 17 years ago, people in Boston walk. You know, you put on your sneakers and you just walk to the train stations or whatever. It is common for you to see people walking. When I walked here, when I lived in Buckhead, when I first came here, people looked at me with this look of pity, like, oh, poor lady doesn't have a car. They looked at me and I could tell
it's true.
Like, oh, wow, she doesn't have a car, and she's walking. Walking was not a favorite pastime here because everyone drives, even if it's 2 minutes away from them, everyone drives. So people tend to be more sedentary, and they tend to be more overweight here. Even though, like you said, the weather is fine, and so people should be outdoors. Whereas in the Northeast, it's very common. I'm not sure about New York City, like I said, but I know in Boston, it was chic for you to walk. You would see women with their sneakers on, walking to the train station.
Oh, yeah, people in New York are the same. They walk everywhere. It's a lot more active, you know. And everybody takes public transportation, but they walk to public transportation, you know. Like, they walk to the subway.
Right.
Or, you know, if they are going to take public transportation, they're not going to, you know, like here, you drive to the MARTA station. No, people don't drive to the MARTA station. They walk to the, you know. But then the public transportation system is a lot different in New York. But no, you're absolutely right. It's I think in major cities probably in general, there's just a lot more walking and a lot more activity going on. So, it's interesting. But I think that speaks to the fact that a lot of times it really does have to do with the emotions. Like, there's other reasons why people are not active and they're overeating. And I think it goes deeper. And I think that so many times, kind of as you said in my intro, I think that people are just looking for that next pill or that next shake or that next fad thing to do, rather than really getting to the source of, you know, why it is that they're not eating properly. You know, what is it about them that's causing them not to do that? And instead of dealing with that, you know, they're just kind of going for the quick fix or just not dealing with it at all until there's some sort of a problem. And so that's one of the things that I really see as my mission, is to really have people just at least be aware of, you know, their health and their wellness, so that, you know, whenever they do come across, if they do come across any sort of an illness or anything like that, you know, it won't take that for them to start, you know, really paying attention to their health. Because, you know, I wish, you know, that I had been more diligent about my health, you know, before having been diagnosed, you know, with a chronic illness. Thankfully, it's worked out for me, and it turned into a blessing in the fact that it made me more aware. But, you know, you shouldn't really have to go through something like that necessarily, though everything happens for a reason. But, you know, I think it's important that people are aware before it gets to the point where they have to actually go through something like that.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And I am so very thankful to you that this is your life's purpose, because you talk about it in a way in which people would not feel judged, which is really important. Put it in a way in which people can know that They don't have to become vegetarians, because you're absolutely right. Even though I am a vegetarian and have been one for a number of years, and I can see the results in terms of my skin and some other things, because people are like, oh, my God, your skin is really clear. And it's from what I eat, but it's not just about eating a vegetarian diet, because there are vegetarians who have died from cancer because of toxic thoughts.
Yeah.
So it's a holistic program. And
I agree.
Having someone like you, anyone in the listening audience, you definitely need to consider getting in touch with Kay, because she presents information in a way in which is so compassionate and non-threatening and non-judgmental. Because when a person is dealing with weight issues and emotional eating, the last thing that he or she would need is for someone to judge them. And that doesn't work anyway when people talk negatively about people, oh, you need to lose weight or whatever. And you're like, okay, I'm a hopeless case, so I should just continue to eat the chocolate cake, because it's
exactly
for me.
Exactly.
So,
yeah, no, I agree. I totally agree. And I'm so, you know, appreciative to you for saying that, because, you know, and I'm not really talking about anyone in particular, but I think a lot of times, just from the outside looking in, you know, you look at a lot of these wellness professionals, these health experts and things like that, and while they have great information, I think a lot of times people look at them and they think to themselves, just like what you said, I'm a hopeless case. You know, I'm never going to be able to be as disciplined as that person, you know. And I'm here to say, hey, I still, you know, there are things that I miss eating that I would love to eat, you know. Like, you know, there are certain things that, you know, in terms of the way that I used to eat and, like, a lot of things that I used to eat, it's not like, you know, you start eating a different way and all of a sudden, you know, you never want that stuff again. You know, I'm not like some superhuman being. But, again, to me, it all goes back to the choice that you want to make. And I think when you understand the, you know, what happens when you make certain choices, I think it makes it more compelling to make certain choices rather than others. So I appreciate you saying that to me, because, I mean, I'm just, you know, just a global person trying to figure it out like everyone else. And that's really how I approach my clients and how I work with my clients. I'm not, you know, I'm just a normal person just like you trying to figure this thing out. And, you know, I'm learning every day, and I'm the type of person, when I learn something and I found something that works for me, I want to share it with everyone. You know, even if, you know, if I have a pair of shoes that somebody compliments me on, I'm the first one to say, oh, I got it at, you know, such and such place. You know, I'll tell them where I got it. And that's just the type of person that I am. And I feel that, you know, that's kind of where I am with it. I just want to share. I'm not any different than you. I just want to share some things that I've learned and that have worked for me. And, hey, hopefully they'll work for you. If not, hey, let's maybe find something else that will. So I appreciate you saying that, because that's definitely something that I strive to embody, is, you know, just the non-judgment. Hey, I'm just like you. We're all trying to figure this out, you know, together. And we're just a lot more powerful together than we are separate. And we all need each other, you know. We all need each other, and we're all one, you know. So, not to get too philosophical about it all, but I think that that's really important.
Yeah, because when people hear judgment, then it doesn't endear them to the person. What happens is that you become more defensive and shut down, because you don't think that the person is listening to what you have to say. They're not listening with their hearts. They're listening with their ears. And that's a very different way. Because I know I've done that with me. I have shut down. Because it's not what I'm asking for. I'm not asking for judgment if I'm talking to this topic. Weight has not been an issue for me. But any topic that I'm talking about, so to have someone like you, who's compassionate and who is able to talk to people from a non-judgmental perspective, I think it's really, really good. So if anyone wants to call in, I see people on the board, and that's what happens. Sometimes people to call and they just want to listen, and that's fine. I see people on the board. But anyway, the number is 1-818-572-8023 and press 1. Again, if anyone would like to talk to Kay, our wellness and life and weight loss coach, the number is 1-818-572-8023 and press 1. What would you like people to think about with the impending holidays, Kay? What would you like for them to be mindful of?
Yes. Well, first of all, you know, what I always like to tell people during the holidays is, you know, remember the real joy of the holidays. You know, I mentioned how food is such a part of our culture, and, you know, a lot of times it kind of is the, you know, the thing that everybody's looking forward to, mom's this, you know, or, you know, dad's that. And what I would say to people is remember what the true joy of the holidays is, right? It's getting together with your family and your friends and your loved ones, you know, spending time with the ones that you love. You know, you might have a little bit of extra time off, you know, so you have more time to kind of relax and be with your family and friends. And just really think about that. And oftentimes I'll do an exercise with my clients, especially around the holidays, and I'll ask them, I'll say, okay, tell me about last Memorial Day. You know, what happened? What did you do? And they'll start describing, oh, well, you know, we went to Aunt Susie's house and everybody got together and we had a big water fight and da-da-da-da. And they might mention the food, but most of the conversation generally is about the people. You know, it's about what they did and everything like that. So that's the first thing that I would say. You know, use this time, like, spend time with your family and think about the real joy of getting together, which is the relationships, the people. But when it comes to the food, of course, we can't ignore that. A lot of times when we go to these functions, there's oftentimes a lot of food that, you know, is greasy and fat-laden and fried and mayonnaise-y and sugary and all the like. So one tip that I often tell my clients is try to bring something to the function that you can actually eat if you're going over to someone's house or you're doing something like that. So like a beautiful, you know, summer salad with, you know, lots of beautiful greens and fresh tomatoes and cucumbers and all those fresh vegetables that are so widely available right now. Or what about a nice, beautiful fruit salad? You know, just a salad full of all sorts of seasonal fruit, something like that. So that's one thing that I would say. Head online. I mean, online there are so many different recipes for, you know, healthy meals and dishes that you could bring. If you're going to be going out somewhere, I always recommend that you eat before you leave. Just something so that you're not totally starving. And I would always say, you know, if you can, always choose a leaner cut of meat or fish, some kind of vegetable or fruit. But then the other thing that I say is if there's something that you really want, if it's a family dish or something like that, have it. You know, don't make it I always say there's not necessarily any forbidden foods per se, but it's just think about moderation. And then also just think about why are you eating it? I mean, is it – do you really, really want it? Or are you, you know, because a lot of times people just eat things because they're in front of them and they're there, you know. They're not really hungry. It's just kind of there. Everybody's eating, so you eat it. So I would just say before you eat something that maybe is not necessarily a whole food or, you know, very sugary or fattening or something like that, just take a breath, take a moment, and think about it. Is this something that I really, really, truly want? And if it is, I say go for it, but just make sure that you have it in moderation. You know, maybe just a bite of it or half of a portion that you would have. But I think a lot of times if you fill up on the whole foods and things like that first, a lot of times your craving or your wanting the other stuff isn't as strong. So Those would be my tips.
I think those are excellent tips. Excellent, excellent tips. Because I know for me, because I don't eat meats at all, and I don't with dairy. If someone has potato salad and they have an egg in it or whatever, I'm not going to become hysterical. You know, some people, oh my God, I can't eat this. You know, I would be there
right,
and
right.
Go home and take care of it when I get home. But
yeah.
I draw the line when people cook with meat products, even with turkey. I can't eat that. I don't have the enzymes to break that down anymore, and that would make me ill. And I don't want that taste. But I think so. You're right. Before I go to certain functions, sometimes I eat because I know that there may be a slim chance that I may not have something that I can eat. So I eat, and then. Even if there is something that I can't eat, I would want less of it because I've already eaten. And when I've given potluck, what I've told people to do is bring a dish that you know you can eat. So if everything else there is not palatable, you don't like the taste of it, it doesn't taste good, or you can't eat it, at least you can eat your dish. And I think that's really a very good idea because that then cuts down on the cravings, and you don't get into eating foods that are not part of your healthy diet.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I think one other thing I wanted to mention, two other quick things, is one thing is don't be afraid, like, if you're going out, let's say, to a restaurant or something like that, or even if you're going to a barbecue, don't be afraid to tell people, hey, do you happen to have some fruit, or maybe can I just have that grilled? Or, you know, especially if you're going out to a restaurant, you know, you're paying for the food. Ask for it the way you want. I mean, right now, especially in the culture right now, restaurants are very receptive, you know, to preparing things in a way that's healthier and things of that nature. I've even called ahead, you know, to see if I could get, like, you know, just maybe a veggie plate made up for me, or is that possible, or, you know, what other options? Because a lot of times those options may not be on the menu, but they're more than happy, you know, to make them. And then if you're around people that you love and respect and things like that, you know, they're not going to be, you know, they're not going to, you know, really be taken aback if you ask for something in a certain way, you know. So that's one thing I would say. Don't be afraid to speak up, especially if you're going out to a restaurant or something like that. And then the other thing is, you know, you had mentioned eating before, and I had said that too. But also think about healthy snacks that you can bring. I always have snacks. My friends always laugh at me because I always have something in my bag that I can nibble on, you know, whether it's some raw almonds or, you know, a piece of fruit. You know, I always have something, and it's usually something that's going to give me some protein, you know, for that's filling, you know, some energy or something like that. So that's another thing that I would say is just carry something with you and don't be afraid to speak up.
I think that's an excellent point because I know for me, I have started to do that. I have something in my car because in Georgia, you have these long drives from one point to another point.
And the traffic.
Yeah, to Roswell, or even if it's not traffic, it's just everything is so spread out. So I found myself in a car sometimes being extremely hungry, and I said, okay, you need to bring something with you and have some water. So if you need to eat something while on the road, you have it there. You don't have to feel famished, and when you get to your destination, you're like, oh my God, I need something to eat because you've had something to eat that's healthy in the car. Like you can have different kinds of veggies, like celery sticks or carrots or broccoli, whatever. You can have some really nice salad dressings that do not get rancid in the heat. There's so many different ways. But you can just have a cooler, like a little portable small cooler, to put your veggies in or your snacks in, and then it keeps you from going to the vending machines and pulling out things that are high in fat. I know a lot of times people think granola bars are pretty good, but granola bars bar, so put that on.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And you can make them at home.
It seems to be that.
Yeah, definitely.
Blow up like a balloon with granola bars.
Yes, you're right. But, and, you know, you can make them so easily at home. You can make healthy ones at home so easily. I have a great, if anybody wants a great recipe, I can send you. I have tons of great recipes for granola that you can make at home that, you know, are low fat, that taste great. And, you know, you can make it at home. I actually freeze mine, but you can put it in a container and, you know, like crumble it up and things like that. And it's really good. So, I even know of some that you can make that are gluten-free, you know. So you're absolutely right, though. And that, again, like you said, it goes back to that education, right? I mean, you know, you look at the media, you know, whatever form of media, and a lot of times they'll say, oh, yeah, granola bars are healthy, you know. Got to learn how to read those food labels. I think that that's another key part of it, too. You know, you look at all the ingredients and you know.
I think you're raising a very important point, because a lot of times people just pick up things and they don't read the label. One of the tests for you to know if you should buy something, if you can't pronounce it, you don't need to buy it. Like if one of the ingredients is as long as your finger, there's a problem. Because things that are whole food, you can read it. It's simple. It doesn't have all those long syllables in it. So if it has a lot of syllables in it, it means that it's a chemical and you shouldn't.
That's right.
You should really think about whether or not you want to purchase it.
Exactly.
And
also the first ingredient is always the first ingredient that you see on the label, that's always the highest quantity of that particular thing is what's in it. So if you see sugar as the first ingredient, you know that primarily whatever you're eating is primarily made up of sugar, because the ingredients go from most to least. So that's another thing that people, well, sometimes you'd be surprised, people don't know that, you know. But that's the first thing that you see.
I'm sorry, but you're raising a very important point, because a lot of people don't know, because they haven't been taught how to read labels on food. They just pick it up, they see a can of green beans or whatever, and the first ingredient is probably water or salt, which means that it has a lot of water in it, it has fewer green beans and more water and a lot of salt. So if a person has high blood pressure and they're eating a lot of canned foods, it's going to spike your numbers, because most canned foods have salt as a preservative, and people don't realize that.
You're right. And the other thing that people don't know, too, is that serving size. You know, a lot of times you look on the back and you'll see the when they show the calories and everything, that's per serving. So a lot of times people won't look and they're like, oh, it's only, you know, this many calories, but that's per serving. And then you look at the amount of serving in the item and there's like 6 servings. So if you eat the whole thing of whatever you're eating, you have to multiply whatever you're looking at by 6. You know, so a lot of times people don't realize that either, you know. So there's a lot of things to that food labeling. Again, that could be a whole other show, too, because, you know, if you really do have to know how to read them properly in order to know what you're really, really getting. So that's a great point.
Another thing that I have found in my journey of healthy eating is that frozen foods, frozen veggies are far better than canned vegetables. A lot of people pick up canned vegetables, which have, and I'm told them they have very little, if any, nutritional value, because they've been cooked to death. So when you pick up canned vegetables, it's like eating paper, whereas if something is frozen, is minimally cooked, and it's as close to fresh. The best thing to do is to get fresh vegetables. And not to cook them until they change colors, because I know people cook greens until they become olive green, you know.
You're right. You know, the other thing, people can freeze fresh vegetables. You can buy fresh vegetables and freeze those, too, as an option. You know, a lot of times people don't want to buy fresh vegetables because they think, oh, it's just going to go bad. you know, but that you like broccoli, you can freeze broccoli, you know, you can chop up spinach and freeze that, you know, so there's a lot of vegetables that you can freeze. Bananas, frozen bananas, you know, they taste like ice cream, you know, you can use them in smoothies, you know, so there's a lot of ways you can do that.
And I think what you're saying now, Kay, is so important because people will buy frozen vegetables and a better alternative than anything in the can. But you pay more mm-hmm. for them to freeze it and for them to package it. You can go to the
exactly.
farmer's market yourself, like on a Saturday, get a lot of
mm-hmm.
vegetables and fruit and put them in little baggies and put them in,
mm-hmm.
in the freezer, and you save lots of money. If you're wanting to save money and have a healthier diet, just freeze it yourself. Chop it up,
mm-hmm.
as Kay
mm-hmm.
has said, and put it in a baggie, and you're not paying for the supermarkets to do the work for you. And you know
yep.
what you're getting. There are no chemicals and preservatives because you've done it yourself. And like I said, in terms of frozen bananas, you can put that in a smoothie. There's so many different things that we can do to be very healthy, to save money, and have a longer life.
You're right. You're so right. I think if people really knew how simple it could be, you know, and then how great you feel and how great it tastes, you know, I think that's one of the messages that I really try and get out. So, you know, one of the things I plan to do is to, you know, really get into the recipes and kind of follow my dad's footsteps in terms of the cooking, and just really show people in terms of recipes and kind of what we're talking about, tips and tricks that they can do. You know, where the food really tastes good. I mean, you and I were talking about the fresh seasonal fruits and, you know, eating seasonally. We were talking about that a little bit and how delicious, you know, that can be. And you've mentioned the farmer's markets. I mean, the food is fresh. And, you know, experiment with spices, too. You know, I think that, you know, in seasonings, the farmer's markets are a great place to find seasonings and spices and herbs and things like that. You can really transform foods. They don't have to be bland to be healthy, you know. So I think that that's another thing. So,
if anyone would like to call in, the number is 1-818-572-8023 and press 1. So feel free to call in to talk to Kate to ask her advice about some of the low-fat, nutritious meals that you can have for Memorial Day weekend or for graduation parties, because there are a lot of graduations that are taking place this month and in June, and people are planning foods, and also family reunions. This is the time also for family reunions.
Oh, yes.
So
yes.
Family reunions have some of the most toxic foods. You know, people
can
barely get up off the bench.
I know. The most healthy thing there is the watermelon, right? The big old watermelon that you cut up, you know.
That's right. They have all – what was very interesting, I know within the African-American community, I can speak about that because I'm part of the community, people have food that
yes.
you eat in the winter during the summer. They have heavy, heavy cornbread and macaroni and cheese. And also,
yeah.
that stuff for the winter. They have all those heavy dressing. I'm like, my gosh. And they
yeah.
have all this stuff during picnics, and they have a slab of ribs. That's during the summertime, people are not eating with the seasons. During the summertime,
no.
you eat foods that are light. So because
yeah.
the body doesn't want anything heavy. And then they eat all that stuff and can barely get up off the park bench.
That's right. You must be related to me. You must be related to me. You sound like you've been at one of my family reunions.
Girl, I know. I have seen people, and I'm like, and it's so interesting because the older they get, they tend to wobble. Because the game's so much weight, so you're there to walk. And I'm like, and after eating all that stuff, and it's hot. And
yeah,
it's hot.
I know.
And so people sometimes, the hypertension becomes an issue.
Yeah.
Because you're eating
yeah.
foods that are laden with salt, they have chemicals
yep.
in them and preservatives, and the heat is going to spike up your numbers, and they're eating
mm-hmm.
banana pudding, peach cobbler. They have about four or five desserts. I love the people diabetic.
Yeah. It's really interesting to watch. And it's like you said, it's that cultural thing, you know. But, you know, I just feel like if we can at least start to break the pattern, you know, by introducing health, you know, into our families, I think that we really can make a difference. And I think that a lot of times people do feel like, you know, this is what everybody's doing and this is what we've done for years. Again, the thing about change. And I just feel if people would be open to small changes, like I said, you know, I think that we really could make a difference in the kind of the trajectory of where we're going, you know, just as a society, you know. I just feel like people just shouldn't be afraid of it. And just, you know, research. The beauty of living in this day and age is you can research anything on the Internet, you know. And there's tons of great information out there. You know, we talked a lot about the media, but, you know, there are places where you can go that you can get really great information in terms of health and wellness. So, you know, definitely do your due diligence on that.
I think that because we have so many things at our disposal, like people have social media and all these other things, and mm-hmm. social media comments that I get from people who are my Facebook friends is the comments are very, very good. They have very nutritious, very healthy meals and dishes that they circulate. But I just think, like you said before, what happens is sometimes we, as people of all races in America and people in the American culture, become so connected to interesting habits, low vibrational habits that no longer serve us.
Yeah.
Because I'm talking to people.
Yeah.
And I said, if Aunt Sally had high blood pressure, and if Uncle Joe had diabetes, and if Aunt Sue died from a heart attack, and if Uncle Bill had cancer, and you're eating all the foods that they ate, how can you not get some of those diseases? How are you exempt? And people don't think about it. I said, if you have a predisposition for these things in your family, then you can change that. You can definitely change it, like Pat and LaBelle did. But you can't continue to eat the same foods that the people who have the diseases ate, because there's a gene in your lineage which makes you predisposed to having those same diseases. And people just eat. And Pat and LaBelle changed that. She lost five of her family members to cancer.
She sure did. She didn't think she was going to make it past 50, wasn't it, or was it 60? And it was one age where she didn't think she would make it past. I think it was 50 or 60. But one thing.
Not if her family did,
Yeah, she thought that once she hit 50, that was going to be it. Another great example of that, Jamila, is Monique. You know, Monique, for years, she had this whole comedy act about being a big girl, you know, and how that was, you know, she was a big girl and she was proud. And even Monique, and I mean, you look at her today, I mean, I saw her, I think it was Arsenio Hall, she looks beautiful. I mean, she just looked beautiful. I mean, her skin. I think she was always a beautiful woman. But her whole thing, and I mean, she was talking about health and, you know, how her husband was really the one that, you know, brought it to her attention. Like, you know, hey, you know, I want you to be here, you know, and that was kind of like her light bulb moment. But you're absolutely right. Even these celebrities who traditionally, have made a career about being a big girl or, you know, eating and stuff like that, have slimmed down. And there's several examples of that. So I think you're absolutely right. And I think one of the things that's important to note about that, too, I actually, in another life, I was actually a personal assistant for a singer. And one of the things about eating healthy is it's not only just kind of a, chic kind of in thing to do. You know, if you're a singer or whatever your profession is, that's going to help you perform at a level of excellence. You know, I mean, it's important for your craft, for whatever it is that you're passionate about, for whatever it is that you want to devote your energy to, you have to show up well-nourished in every way. So, you know, when we look at healthy eating, it's not just about losing some weight. That's what, you know, you mentioned in my bio. It's not just about losing weight, but it's about performing at your best. It's about performing with excellence. It's about being able to do the things that you're passionate about, show up for the world, show up for your family, show up for the people that you love in a way that's the best you. So it goes so much deeper than just losing a couple of pounds or, hey, it's in to, you know, be healthy. No, and as we've talked about, these celebrities and these people are realizing, this is how I can be my optimal self. This is how I can perform with excellence if I'm in the best shape, you know. So it's about so much more than that, and I just I'm so passionate about that because I really feel like if people really got that at a deep level, how can I be excellent, you know?
Right.
I think that, you know, your eating and the way you treat your body in general is so key to that. I listened to a lot of talk radio, and I was listening to a local talk radio station, and they were talking about Oprah. And we all know her documented, you know, struggle, you know, with her weight. But one of the things that they mentioned was, you know, the fact that she was heavy, it didn't deter people from her being promoted and from her being successful because she operated at a level of excellence, you know. But in the end, we see all that she went through in terms of, you know, her food struggle. So even her, with all her success, she still found it necessary, you know what I mean, to really devote time and energy to her health. So if we look at Oprah, who arguably, you know, I don't know many people who are operating at a level of excellence higher than that. Even she, you know, felt that there was a way that she could be better by improving her health. So I think that's an important point to bring up, too, is that, you know, do you want to show up and operate at a level of excellence? And how is your health supporting you in that? I think that's an important question to ask for all of us to ask ourselves, you know.
And that, what you're mentioning now, is very, very important because that was one of the things I mentioned before, that, you know, women who are professional women who have more disposable income, like Oprah, but their dietary patterns have not changed.
That's right.
And with African-American women, and that was a concern that I had, not as a dietitian or a holistic nutrition or anything like that. That's not my area. But in terms of empowerment and self-esteem issues with women, I had that as a concern because I was thinking, what is going on? You have the money, and most people would think, okay, you can have a private chef who will cook the best foods for you that are low in fat. How do you still have to be overweight? And another entertainer, Beyonce, has a lifelong, for lack of a better word, card to Popeye.
Popeye's
chicken for as long as she wants. I was like, oh my gosh, that is so toxic.
So that just goes back to the fact, like what you said,
you know,
it doesn't matter the economics.
You still have these dietary, they have these dietary patterns that may not be the best and healthiest. So people think that because people have money that their habits would change, but it's an internal process, like you said before. You have to want to do it.
Well, and I think what you bring up, too, is such a great point, is that self-esteem issue. because I think that a lot of times that's at the heart of so much of the issues that folks have with food, is that self-esteem. And, you know, at some level of their being, feeling that they're not worth it or they're not worthy or there's some area of their life that's, you know, lacking or something like that. And, you know, somehow that food kind of comes in to kind of, you know, to as a crutch or something that they can use, you know. So I think that that's an important point, too. And I think you do see that a lot with women in terms of the self-esteem thing, you know. The emotions. The emotions are so, can be so strong, you know. And so, yeah, there's definitely a lot of reasons. And that's why I say, you know, I go back to your body's wisdom and just really sometimes just getting still, you know, and really just kind of listening to your body and kind of sitting with yourself and your thoughts to really understand why it is that you make those certain choices. Like you said, even with all the money and the access to a personal chef or whatever you might have access to, you know, you still can't seem to figure it out in terms of the eating. A lot of times I'll suggest to my clients just really get still, you know, and just listen, you know, to your body and what it's telling you. So I think that the self-esteem issue is definitely, that's definitely a factor.
It really is. And so it cuts across race, it cuts across age, it cuts across socioeconomic socioeconomic strata, because mm-hmm. people who, with restings, say to themselves, once I become wealthier, once I get more money, then I can make better mm-hmm. food choices. No, mm-hmm. it's the same thing with people
yeah.
who supposedly don't have money at their disposal. They think, once I get money, then my life will change. No, it doesn't. Mm-hmm. If you don't start the process before, because we're always thinking in the future, we have control over where we are in the now. If you don't start seeking out better ways in which to feed yourself and to eat healthy, when the money mm-hmm. comes, those changes will not be in place. And we're always thinking that that will happen, that the money will make things different. It doesn't.
Yes.
It's like what you said before, Kay, and I really like that. You said that it just provides you with more access. And
mm-hmm.
people just have more excess.
Yes.
See, that's what they
yes. More access to excess. Yeah, exactly. No, I mean, you're right. And I think, oh, you made such a powerful point about how we're always, oh, once I get this, then I'll be happier. Once I get, you know, and I've been watching the whole Eckhart Tolle, which I love Eckhart Tolle, but his whole series about the New Earth. And one of the things that he talks about is how each choice that you make in the present is what's predicting your future. So when you're making these healthy choices, like at each point in the present, that's what's going to create your future. And just like you said, so many people are looking to the future. Well, when I do this, then I'll get that, not realizing that the choice that they're making in the present to say that is creating a different future. You know, it's not creating the future that they necessarily want. But if they would own each present moment and the choices that they make in each present moment, they could create the future of their dreams. You know what I mean? So I think that that's really powerful and so true, too, what you said.
Yeah, I think that's really, really important. And what you have been saying throughout the program, which is really, really wonderful, is not to give up your power. And we tend to do that
mm-hmm.
as of all races. We tend to do that as people. We tend to want to go to a dietitian or go to a doctor
yep.
or go to someone to fix us, as opposed to, and then sometimes we don't even follow through with the program after having paid them. But
mm-hmm.
I would love to
yeah.
people get your personal information, Kay, so that they may contact you personally. So can you give them your information?
Sure. You can go to my website, which is kaykirkman.com, which is spelled K-A-Y-K-I-R-K-M-A-N.com. And you can also follow me on Twitter. I love Twitter. So it's just at Kay Kirkman, my name. And then on Facebook, you can like my page, which is just Kay Kirkman Speaks. And that's, you know, Kay Kirkman and then S-P-E-A-K-S. And one of the things I just wanted to mention, too, is one of the things that I love about coaching and also speaking is that I'm really kind of co-creating with you. So as a coach, I'm not really sitting there telling you what to do. You know, we're walking through the process together, and it's just someone to kind of help you figure it out, and also someone to hold you accountable for your actions. And I think that that's what makes the difference in terms of the success of the folks that I work with, as opposed to just trying to figure it out on your own. Same thing when I speak and I do workshops, and it's really informative, but it's always a co-creative process. You know, so anything that I do, any talk that I do, everything's very interactive because I like people to be involved in the process. And just like you said, don't just sit there and take someone else's word for anything, you know. My job is just to bring awareness so that you can then go and make the best decision for yourself. So I just want to bring that up as well.
That is so empowering because we're so used to, for the most part, I don't do this, but a lot of people are so used to going to physicians or going to someone else, and they want them to fix them. Okay, give me this formula, these recipes, and I want you to fix me. I don't want to be participatory. I want you to just write it out, tell me what to do. I take no personal responsibility. Whereas with coaching, if someone were to come to see you, it's a wonderful dance that you do.
I love that.
Client are working together as a team, as opposed to the client giving all of his or her power up to the coach. Because
that's
one of the beauties of coaching. You know, you help people. You have the answer. I'm just going to work along with you and be your accountability partner. Show you how to get the desired result, you know, that you're seeking.
Yes.
I think that's really wonderful. It's really wonderful.
I was just going to say, if anybody just has any questions about coaching in general, you know, weight loss coaching or health coaching or just coaching in general, you know, I always offer, you know, a free 30-minute consultation. So even if you just wanted to find out a little bit more about what it's all about, because I think you bring up an excellent point. I don't think that a lot of people are not familiar with what coaching is, and they do think it's just, I'm going to tell you what to do, you know. So I think I'm so glad that you brought that up. It's important.
Yeah, and select your coaches very wisely. Someone like Kay would be wonderful for people who are having weight loss issues. And they, you know, if you go into to a lot of the commercial programs and have not been successful, and we know all the programs because they've been around for a while, then it means that you can be successful, but you may need additional support, and you can receive additional support from Kay. And I think it's not a sign of failure or that when you seek outside assistance. To me, that's the sign of someone who is definitely committed to his or her health and improving his or her life. When you continue to do the same things and expect different results, that's what my late husband used to call insanity. And a lot of us keep doing the same thing, thinking it magically is going to change us or transform us, when it's not, and we need additional support. So definitely be in touch with Kate. And if you have any questions for her this evening, we have 30 minutes left, and the number is 1-818-572-8023, and press 1. Again, the number is 1-818-572-8023, and press 1. So, Kay, what other topics do you want to share with our listening audience? And I will definitely call back in if the call drops on my end. So if you I'm not hearing any responses. I'm calling back in. But listeners, please feel free to call in at any point before 9 and to get any answers to questions that you may have. We have an excellent resource person here who has been trained in the area rather than listening to people who don't have a background in nutrition or in weight loss, who can tell you some things that may hurt you. She's trained in the field. She's an expert in the field. So take advantage of this kind of expertise. I see people on the board. I see a number of people on the board. So feel free to press 1 to ask Kay any questions that you may have. What are some thoughts that you have? Like, you gave very good information in terms of telling people to eat before going to functions, which will keep mm-hmm. them from overeating, and to eat more fruits and vegetables. And you also told them to get fresh vegetables and fruit and chop them up and put them mm-hmm. in the freezer so that they can have them at their disposal. And you're also telling people to get to the heart of why they eat emotionally, because that puts a lot of weight on, because mm-hmm. you're eating comfort foods, which will definitely put some weight on, sugars and snack foods.
Yeah.
So what else would you share with our audience?
Well, I would like to talk about sugar, because that is a big thing, I think, and especially, you know, you mentioned diabetes and these different illnesses, and, of course, my dad actually suffered from diabetes, so that's one thing. I think that's a hard thing, too. I think that one of the things I encourage people to do is try to get away from the white sugars. Look for alternative ways to sweeten your food. There are so many different ways. Stevia, some people call it stevia, is it's a natural herb leaf, which is very sweet, that you can use to sweeten anything, really. And I would recommend actually going to a farmer's market or a health food store and actually buying the stevia plant and just boiling it in some water. And you can use that to sweeten your drinks, your tea, your coffee, and things of that nature, because the white sugar is very, very toxic to the body. You can also look at things like dates. You can sweeten things with dates. Of course, fruits. You know, we mentioned bananas and smoothies and things like that. When you get really ripe fruits, a lot of times, they're really, really sweet. So, and, you know, like I said, just do your research, and there are so many great recipes and alternatives to the normal kind of sugary processed foods that we generally eat, because what happens is when you eat those sugary kind of processed foods, that's when you get those spikes, you know, you get that kind of surge of energy, and then you kind of drop, you know. So that's one thing that I would say. And then, you know, also just if you could just focus on just trying to eat again, and I've said this before, but, you know, more fruits and vegetables and whole grains as opposed to a lot of processed food. Even if you just did that one thing, you didn't change anything else about your diet, but you just didn't eat anything that came out of a box, and you just started eating things that were grown that way, you know, and come from the ground or come from the tree. Even just doing that, and not even changing necessarily the quantities per se, but just eating foods that are whole foods, that's also going to help you feel better too. So those are some other things that I would say in terms of tips. And then another thing I wanted to say about the holidays is, you know, I talked a lot about, you know, finding the joy in being with the people that you're with as opposed to the food, but also maybe try and find events that don't revolve around food. I know there's a lot of, like, fireworks and other activities that are going on, so, you know, just maybe take an opportunity to kind of look at some other things that, you know, don't necessarily have to be expensive, that you can do that don't necessarily, you know, revolve around the food. So those are some other tips that I would add as well.
You mentioned a good point about stevia. Stevia is has no calories, everyone. So it is 100 times sweeter than sugar, and it will not spike your numbers in terms of your insulin numbers. So if you're diabetic, you can definitely use stevia. It does not spike your numbers. And it's what some people has an aftertaste, but it's okay. I would rather have the aftertaste than
you can use
have high numbers in terms of diabetes. And it's plant-based. As Kay has pointed out, you can get the plant and boil it, or you can go to the health food store. They have it now, I think, in places like Kroger and Publix. So I think a lot of...
They do. Just when you you buy it from the store, just make sure that you look at the labels, because a lot of times now, you know, of course, now that people have brought stevia into the forefront, you know, you have all of the big box, you know, food manufacturers trying to get in on it, and they're taking, you know, they have the, I'm not going to call the names of the products, but, you know, they're mixing them with other things. So just make sure that you read the label when you're buying the stevia, and just get something that's just pure liquid stevia with no other kind of added things to it, because I noticed that they're doing that. They're trying to fool people into thinking that, you know, that they're getting just pure stevia, and it's, you know, something else. So, but yeah, you're right. There are some convenient ways to get it too. If you can't find the plan, or if that's not convenient for you, then yes, you can get it in its liquid form. And a lot of times I've seen it like it's like little drops. You know, you can get it like where you can get it in little drops, and you can get it in the natural food stores and things like that. So, but yeah, I think the white sugars, the white flours are just, I would say, if one thing that you could start to eliminate, the sodas, you know, even the diet sodas, you know, it's just, you know, try and add more water into your diet. And, you know, if it's to the point where you just, you know, you can't just drink water plain, put some, you know, fresh lemons and limes, you know, in it. It's really great. That way some mint. You know, a sprig of mint, and even other, you know, different fruits and things, if you put it in the water with some ice, you know, that to me is going to be better than if you're drinking a lot of sodas. And diet sodas are really worse almost than the sugary, you know, regular soda. They're both not.
Yeah.
You know, I said that there were no good and bad foods, but I don't know. Soda is kind of on the fence for me. If you could just avoid that. You know, and I think the one thing is, it's just the excess. You know, I've seen people that literally will drink a liter of soda a day. You know, like a liter of Pepsi, or, you know, I don't want to say the brand or whatever, but yeah, like a liter of soda a day, and it's just, that's not good. And you know, one thing you'll find is, once you stop with the sugar, you'll find that you have a lot more energy. And I know people might not believe that, but, you know, you might have a kind of a transition period, but that should only last really a few days, you know. But once you kind of get over that hump, man, you'll find that your energy is really, is so much more when you let go of that sugar. So those are some things that I really think are. No, go ahead.
That's good. That's true. And agave is something else, too. It's made from the cactus plant. So for those of you who like maple syrup, but you can't take, you can't use it because you're diabetic, agave, A-G-A-V-E, and stevia is spelled S-T-E-V-I-A, A-G-A-V-E. Agave is like a syrup, and stevia is like a white powder. Stevia reminds you of the substitution for sugar, and it's not like NutraSweet and all that, which is natural.
Yeah.
And it's made from a plant. So stevia is not NutraSweet. It has zero calories. It does not promote tooth decay. It is 100 times sweeter than any sugar, and it's all natural, and your body can absorb it if you're diabetic. And agave, A-G-A-V-E, also is something that diabetics can use. some I've heard it has spiked their sugar levels a little, but not a lot. But that's like a substitute for maple syrup. If you want something that's liquid than agave, would be your answer.
And the thing about those sweeteners, too, that's good is that you really don't need a lot. And even with the stevia, like you said, it's 100 times more sweeter, so you don't really need a lot to get that, you know, that sweetness. And I think that brings up a point, too, that I wanted to make is that I think a lot of times people just want a certain sensation, you know. Like, you know, have you ever just, you know, been sitting and you're like, I just want something sweet. You know, I just want, you know, you just want the sensation. So a lot of times what I try and do is I try and help people think of other things that they could eat that will give them that same sensation without, you know, having to go to the processed food. So, like, a lot of times if you want something sweet, even if you have, like, some dried fruits and nuts, you know, that can be, like, a little bit of a sweet kind of snack, you know. A lot of times if you want something crunchy, one thing I love, absolutely love, are kale chips, and they're so easy to make. You know, you just get your kale, you just take your kale, you tear up your kale, put your oven on 300 degrees, let it preheat. Don't put it on too high because it will burn. Put some olive oil on there, and then just, you know, put a little bit of salt and pepper or, you know, whatever you like to season it, and you bake it for maybe like 15, 20 minutes, and you've got a crunchy snack, you know. So I think that a lot of times, rather than just, you know, reaching for something that may not serve our bodies as well, we can find a natural, more natural, more whole food substitute for a lot of the kind of cravings that we might have, you know, even like dark chocolate, like cacao nibs, which are just the pure chocolate, doesn't have any sugar. I make smoothies out of those with like coconut milk, and it's just like a chocolate shake, you know, and like, you know, a lot of the milk substitutes like coconut milk, hemp milk, almond milk, you know, there's so many substitutes that taste just as good a lot of times. But again, it goes back to the education and the willingness to, you know, kind of try new things. So that's another thing that I would say is just if you've got a craving for something, think about maybe a natural, more natural alternative that can help you kind of satisfy that craving for that thing you want. And a lot of times that does take a little bit more planning. I always like to tell clients, you know, plan for that craving before you actually have it. You know, so if you know that you're the type. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, I really like that plan for the craving because it is coming.
It is coming. It's coming. Don't deny it's coming because it's coming. And I think that a lot of people, you know, that's the one thing that if there's one thing that I'd like to convey is that, you know, let go of this whole willpower thing, you know. It's not about willpower. It's about skill power. It's about being educated and having the skills to eat, you know, a certain way, and it's a way that's going to feed and fuel your body. So, yeah, make sure that, you know, and don't do it when you're hungry, you know. I mean, when you're not hungry and you're satisfied, that's the time that you want to plan. You want to think about what types of snacks that you can have for those times when the craving hits, you know. And if you're a person that likes chocolate, I mean, you're probably not going to want to have a celery stalk, you know, as that substitute, because that's not going to satisfy you, you know. But there are, you know, healthier, like dark chocolate, you know, things of that nature that you can have in limited amounts that will help you to satisfy that craving without, you know, you having these sugary processed kind of snacks that, once again, are not going to serve your body in the same way.
Right, and another very good substitute for chocolate, because chocolate has some good antioxidants if you have a pure organic chocolate, but not a lot of it, is carob.
Yes.
Carob is
carob.
So wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
C-A-R-O-B.
Yes.
I've had people buy carob chips sweetened with barley malt, and it tastes just like chocolate. and you don't have to have high caffeine. So carob chips,
go
to your health food store. And the farmer's market here in Georgia doesn't have them, but most of the health food stores do carry carob, C-A-R-O-B, and they have carob powder that tastes like chocolate. So you use a carob powder and stevia or agave in it, and you feel like you have hot chocolate or cold chocolate with some almond milk or skim milk or coconut milk.
And a lot of times I've seen a lot of the grocery stores, even the big chain grocery stores, are now having more extensive health food sections. So, you know, even if you're not near a farmer's market or a health food store per se, you can also, you know, you can go, a lot of your big box stores are now, you're seeing like healthier sections. Even I was so surprised, I went to Walmart the other day and they had some, you know, healthier health food incorporated in there as well. So, you know, you can make sure you look at that. And another option is the internet. There are some really good websites where you can purchase online. You know, you talked about the carob chips, the cacao powder that I was talking about. A lot of those things you can actually get online as well. So there are other options if you're not in an area where, you know, where you can get those things. And, yeah, I've seen, like I said, online, there's several different websites. And that way, you know, you can order them and have them at your disposal so that, as we talked about before, when those cravings do come, you'll already be prepared. And, you know, you won't kind of be caught off guard, which I think that's, so many folks do, you know, they're not prepared, and then all of a sudden that craving hits, and they're like, oh, no, you know, what do I do? And a lot of times I've found, too, that at the grocery store, if you don't see a certain product that you are looking for, a lot of times you can ask the grocery store manager if it's something that they could possibly carry. And, you know, a lot of times they will, you know, they'll be agreeable to that as well. So
that's so very, very, very true. So I think that you're providing so many different options for people. And this is such a powerful show. I'm so thankful that you are our guest. We have 12 minutes remaining. I want you to remain with us all. We have until the end to talk about these different options, because I really care about people. I care about people. And this show is worldwide. It's not only for Georgia or for the U.S. It goes around the world. So I care about people throughout the world, and we want you to be healthy, particularly Americans, because Americans tend to have diets that are very, very not in sync with the seasons. We eat foods year-round because they're genetically modified. So we eat watermelon in the winter. And you know watermelons don't grow in the winter. We're eating foods that are out of season. So our bodies are reacting because we're not eating foods that are being grown during the time when we're eating them. We're eating foods that are not in season because we want to eat them, and they're being genetically modified and grown in laboratories. So you're not even eating real food. And we need to really get in touch with that and become more aware when strawberries are in season or blueberries. And what sometimes they do is they will ship the fruit or vegetables from another country. Because of our appetite. So have you been able to talk to people about that?
Yeah, that, you're bringing up some great points. I'm so glad you brought up GMOs. Again, that could be a whole nother show. But one of the things that you know, you said about the eating seasonally is so important. If you don't know when things are in season, ask your grocer. You know, ask the produce department. Or you can go online and you can find out when things are in season. But kind of like you said, you kind of know, you know, like in the dead of winter, that strawberries probably are not in season, you know. But I think that that's so important that you mentioned the fact that, you know, we get a lot of fruits and things shipped in. One of the things you want to try and do as much as possible, and this will help you so much in terms of eating healthy and also eating seasonally, is eat things that are locally grown. You know, so when you look at your fruit or your vegetable, wherever it is, the further it's had to travel to get to you, the more the nutrient value has gone down, you know. So you want to make sure that whatever you're eating, yeah, that's a really good point to note. You want to make sure that whatever you're eating, the most ideal situation is that it came from the state where you live. But like I said, if you're getting things shipped in and flown in, the nutrient value goes down the farther out that you've got to have it shipped. So, you know, really research. Farmers markets are great. Even local farmers. You know, a lot of local farmers have, you know, where you can actually, you know, go to, you know, their establishment and, you know, depending on where you live, now you might not be able to do this everywhere, but some places you can actually go and pick your own vegetables and fruits and things of that nature. But just do your research, you know, do your research. There's probably a lot more resources in terms of getting whole fresh fruit in your area than you think. You just have to reach out and be always in research mode, I like to say, and just be inquisitive. Because this is you. This is your health. This is your body, you know, so you really want to be particular about what you put in it. So
I think that's an excellent point, telling people to look for locally grown vegetables and fruit. One, because As you stated, Kate, you know, I hadn't really thought about that, but it's true that for the pay, it has to be packed and frozen or whatever, and the nutrient value diminishes. And also you're supporting the local economy when you
That's
do
right.
that, because I know, even at the farmer's market, things flowing in from Chile and all over, you know, like, okay.
Yeah.
Are still in season there. So they pack them and freeze them to ship them over here so people can have them. And your body is like, oh, my God. You know, when people buy watermelon in the middle of the winter, that's a deal breaker for me. I'm like, they do not.
Yeah.
Watermelon are not grown in the middle of the winter. And I'm not.
Right.
My body does not need to have something that's being shipped from across the world or something that's being genetically modified. And also another thing is to buy things with seeds in them, because if they don't have seeds in them, they're genetically modified. Everything comes from
a seed. That's right. Yeah, and GMOs, that's like a whole other thing, how people, to keep up with the demand, as you said, for certain fruits and vegetables, they will create them. They will genetically modify and create a food, which is really scary, you know, to think about. But this is what is happening and is commonplace, you know,
really
in our society. So you have to be so careful about it.
Really, you know, I've told people, don't you know that all those chicken wings that you're eating, that they are genetically modified? The evidence is that people are eating chicken wings. How can they meet the demand if they allow the chickens to grow to full maturation? If the chickens become full hens or roosters, there are not enough hens and roosters to satisfy the taste of one family, because there are some families who can go through a whole bag of chickens. And they haven't thought about that. I said, you're eating genetically modified food. It's not even real chicken that you're eating. And they've cloned a lot of those. We even had it on the news how they've cloned beef. People are still going by and eating the stuff. I said, because they don't really care until they become ill. And then they see that the bodies don't have the immune system cannot fight off the diseases because of the fact that it's been so compromised by eating genetically modified fruits and vegetables and meat. Most people have, at the end of the day, have not had any real food. Everything that they have had has been genetically modified.
Yeah.
And I tell people, you know, do you think it's normal for you to be able to buy a bag of chicken wings for a dollar? You know,
yeah,
well,
oh, my God.
There's nothing wrong with that. If they have a sale and the price is really low, it's not real. There's a problem.
Yeah.
And then a lot of people have not thought about it. They're like, oh, why, it's a sale, it's a deal. There's a friend of mine who is now deceased. Her whole thing was buying everything on sale, getting, you know, low-quality meats and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
She was looking for penny sales. She died from cancer. She got cancer for the third time, and it took her out.
Mm.
And she was about 52 years old. She died last year. The mother of three.
Oh,
so when I called her to tell her, don't compromise on your food, you know, she had children. They would fly here and there for chess tournaments. For her, buying things that cost more money in terms of her food was an unnecessary expense.
Mm.
When she was, you know, they may have had some vouchers to fly all over for chess tournaments, but that was more important to her than spending money on high-quality food. And she's no longer here. So
that goes back to what we talked about before, is the priorities, right? Goes back to the priorities. So.
Yeah. And people are not thinking about that. Like I said, Beyonce having a lifelong, whatever that thing is, Popeye chicken. To me, that would have been insulting because she likes fried chicken. That would be, you know, to have a lifelong membership to an organic farm, to me, would have been something valuable. But lifelong, lifelong membership to Popeye's.
Yeah.
Popeye's chicken. That is insane. But with the high income, like I said, because she told people, oh, I just love Popeye's chicken. I'm like, well, someone at that level should know if you want the chicken, it should be baked rather than fried. So we have to really start looking at the choices that we make, because having more money does not necessarily mean that we are better informed or living a healthier lifestyle. Okay, before we end, we have left, I want you to give people your contact information again.
Yes, thank you so much. And thank you so much for having me on, Jamila. I really enjoyed speaking with you. My website is kkirkman.com, and that's kaykirkman.com. And you can also follow me on Twitter at kkirkman and my Facebook page. I'd love if you would like my Facebook page. It's K Kirkman Speaks, and I am available for workshops, keynote presentations, and I also do group and one-on-one coaching. And I really love to connect with your listeners. If you just want to, like I said, find out some more information about your health or wellness, I am more than happy and open to chat with you. I would love to connect with you, so please do.
And this is ideal for family reunions. Please, 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 we need to start having people like Kay coming to family reunions and being the keynote speaker. She's very, very gifted, very skilled, as you can see, very knowledgeable. And she can, please, rather than having family reunions and you have people sit around and chit-chat and talk and whatever, we need to help people to educate our families so we can become healthy regardless of race, regardless of culture, because it's a concern, particularly in the South. We're having more and more people die from obesity and cancer, and these things are preventable. So please consider contacting Kay website and the Twitter page and the Facebook page information that she has provided. And I so appreciate you, Kay, for taking the time to educate people, to give them more information, because we care about you. We love you out there in the listening audience, and we want you to remain healthy. And if you're not healthy now, to become. So please, please contact Kay. And until we meet again and have our chat on Higher Consciousness, have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful week. Take care.
Disappointment from my mental, physical, spiritual, and emotional body. 'Cause I know that spirit guides me, and love lives inside me. That's why today I take life as it comes.